Okay, we're all set. The recording has started. So I'm going to welcome everyone officially to our New Mexico ICF virtual call. This is Elizabeth Wendt Phillips from the Programs Committee. And thank you for joining us today for the last virtual event for 2015. The next event we're going to have is our Winter Social. That will be a live event, obviously. It's not very social on a call. That will be on Thursday, December 3rd, from 5 to 7:30 at the Bioscience Center in Albuquerque. And that'll be a great chance to visit and celebrate, and we're going to have a couple of fun activities, including a silly sock exchange, which you won't want to miss, and an activity that involves bringing your favorite coaching questions. And we'll send out more details about that by email. And if you're not on our email list, please let Kelly know. She's our virtual assistant, and I'll give out her email at the end of the class. Also, the programs are listed on our ICFNewMexico.org website and the ICF New Mexico Facebook page. I would ask that all of the participants except Anne-Marie could please mute yourself by pushing star 6 just to get rid of any background noise. And then after we open it up for Q&A, then we'll ask you to, you can push star 6 again to unmute yourself. So officially now I'll start, and I am so pleased to introduce Anne-Marie McKelvey. For those of you who don't already know all about her, she's a master certified coach, a Buddhist chaplain, and a licensed psychotherapist. She's trained over 1,500 students and has coached over 1,000 clients in the private sector. She's taught positive psychology for over 10 years in an ICF-approved coaching school, and she's also the founder and director of the Mindfulness Coaching School. This ICF-approved program interweaves engaged mindfulness, positive psychology, wellness, and leading-edge coaching business principles, all in order to coach others to live a more intentional and purposeful life. And I am very honored to welcome Anne-Marie McKelvey. Welcome, Anne-Marie.
Can you hear me? Hi?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Hi. Thank you.
I assume everybody else can, too. we're so glad to have you.
Thank you.
And I would ask if you could just start out by giving us a primer on what positive psychology is.
Sure.
And then going from there.
I'd be happy to do that. Aristotle is one of the first, I would call him sort of a positive psychologist, even though he wouldn't have called himself that. But he coined the phrase the good life. And from there, we can kind of connect the dots all the way up to Marty Seligman, who I consider the father of positive psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I think it was, I can't remember, it was like 17 years ago, 19 years ago or something, Marty had been elected the president of the APA, the American Psychological Association, and in his acceptance speech, he asked for more research in what he called positive psychology. And some other people had been doing some research and written some journal articles and things, but not a lot had been done. There wasn't a lot of research that had been funded, things like that. So anyway, he really felt that there had been enough emphasis on human pathology and wanted more focus on what makes people feel good, mental health, not mental illness, and what makes people thrive, what makes people flourish. And so he called to action. He did a call of action and wanted research on the true meaning of mental health, including the body, not just the mind, but the body also. And anyway, up until that point, as I had mentioned, the focus on what didn't work was what people were most, that's where they put the flashlight, that's where they put the spotlight on. And so many of us, and at that point, I was still a psychotherapist, but I started incorporating some of the applications and the processes. And we've got some.
Yeah, if anyone's not muted their phone, could I ask you to please push star 6? We've got a little background rustling.
So a lot of us that were psychotherapists back in the day started, utilizing different positive psychology applications. And there are three words that we use, which are in our coactive coaching book for those of you who, use that as your kind of holy coaching Bible, and that's resourceful, whole, and creative. And What was interesting is that the more I started playing around with positive psychology, and I took Marty's Vanguard class called Authentic Happiness, and there were 300 clinicians on the call. Some of them, actually not all 300 clinicians, some of them were also coaches. And what I recognized early on is that the people who were psychotherapists were running into the call, like me, coming in from the psychiatric ward after being with, you know, clients and patients, and running in with, you know, a chocolate bar in my mouth and, you know, getting on the phone because it was always a teleconference. And then the coaches were coming in, and they were, like, laughing, and, you know, they were just having a good time. And I realized I wanted what they had. I really wanted what they had. And so Marty was really encouraging all of us to start looking at coaching and bringing that into the realm of positive psychology. So that's when I made the shift. So the positive psychology definition is the study of people at their best. Now, can you imagine waking up in the morning and thinking, wow, I wonder what my day is going to be like today. I wonder how I can really live my life to the best. And then going to bed at night knowing that you did live your life at your best. Because we did, you know, no matter what happens throughout our day, we did the best we could. We did. You know, I don't know anybody that I've ever worked with, including myself, because I sometimes coach myself, you know, that I intentionally tried to do something cruel or mean, you know, really intentionally. Sometimes I might, you know, kind of get upset and I'll lose my temper or something like that, but I'll apologize, I'll pull it back, I'll make it my own again, and I'll be responsible. But this is a whole new other piece. It was like the study of people at their best. So it really became a science. And so it then evolved into the scientific study of optimal behavior of people at their best. So the scientific study of optimal behavior of people at their best. So one of the things that I noticed when I looked at what I was supposed to be talking about today is, Elizabeth and I were laughing about that earlier, because I thought I was going to be talking about the engaged mindfulness, the art of engaged mindfulness, and it was like, oh no, I'm doing positive psychology.
Yeah.
But one of the questions is, you know, why is positive psychology important in coaching? Mm-hmm. And this is a very important question. And I feel like there are four definite reasons. The first is it increases our clients' happiness. And when we're happy, when our clients are happy, when we're happy, we're more likely to reach our goals. It also is about well-being. And this is what most clients are searching for. And I include meaning. Actually, I should say that it's about meaning, creating meaning in their life, and well-being is a part of that. And then it's also working with the client's strength. And those three words that I mentioned earlier, creative, resourceful, and whole. And what I also work with in terms of the client's strengths, and you all might want to get a piece of paper and pencil or your keyboard and monitor out, because I will be sharing quite a bit of information. I'm also going to be telling some stories. And we're going to be doing some stuff together. But the VIA signature strengths are really an important factor in my coaching work. And you can go to authentichappiness.org, and it'll switch you over to the University of Pennsylvania, where Marty's website is up there, because he teaches at the University of Pennsylvania. And there you can find, underneath questionnaires, the VIA signature strengths.
Ah, great. Okay. Thanks so much for that resource.
Sure. And take, you know, and take the questionnaire. It's like 240 questions. But it will help you determine, out of the 24 strengths that have been identified, what your top five are. Actually, it'll put everything in chronological order. So you get to really, you know, play to your strengths and play, you know, work with that. So the other piece in terms of the why of positive psychology and coaching, is that it develops resilience. Last week I was on an airplane that we had just boarded out of Santa Fe Airport. I was going to Milwaukee to do what I'm doing right now, because I was participate in a workshop and then a keynote with Wisconsin State ICF chapter, and the plane was struck by lightning.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I just was like, oh gosh. And it was interesting to watch the, you know, the thoughts, and because it, I sort of went, oh well, so I have a choice here. I can totally get terrified, because I didn't really know that we'd been struck. What we found out was that we needed to, you know, deboard. And but it was, positive psychology gives us those reminders that we have a choice in where we're thinking. And for me, because I'm a Buddhist chaplain and I work with thoughts a lot, you know, mind training is basically what, you know, being a Buddhist practitioner is about. I'm fascinated with the choices that we come up with. So positive psychology goes hand in hand with mindfulness and meditation and things like that. So we increase our clients' happiness. It's about creating meaning in their life. We coach to their strengths, and it develops resilience. So was that okay? Does that work for you?
Yeah, I definitely have a framework around what it is and what you focus on in positive psychology, and also really significantly the difference between positive psychology and the more formerly mainstream focusing on dysfunction as opposed to
exactly, yeah, the pathology
driving
piece.
Yeah,
good.
So thank
and
you.
Sure. You know, I also want to add something too, that Chris Peterson also was a colleague with Marty, and he recently died a few years ago, and he was actually one of my favorite teachers. If you all can get any YouTubes of him, I think he did a TED Talk, you might want to watch him. He's really stellar. He was voted one of the top teachers of the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. But anyway, he said that for him, the premise of positive psychology is that human goodness and excellence are as authentic as human flaws and inadequacies. And I really like that. I use that as a definition more than anything else, because it helps my mind differentiate. And so, again, I just want to repeat that, that human goodness and excellence are as authentic as human flaws and inadequacies. So kind of consider that, and I invite each of you to play with that, to look at your human goodness and your excellence, and then look at how much you focus on your human flaws and inadequacies. Because there's something about sort of defaulting over to those human flaws and inadequacies that we do.
I would also just, to look at it a different way, I think you're also it also says that flaws and inadequacies are also authentic. It's sort of the...
Right.
That honest side, too, that doesn't mean you're bad or wrong. Or
right. It's just part of who we are as humans.
It's part of being a human, yeah, so thank
you. Right. Yeah, I had a wonderful mentor who I worked with up until her death at 94, and her name was Edith Wallace. And I would come in for supervision, and I'd come in and I'd, you know, tell her about something, and I'd, you know, kind of, and then she'd look at me and she'd say, excuse me, and I'd say, what? And I always knew that she was going to say something, and she'd say, you are still human, aren't you? And I'd go, right, I'm human. And it was so important for me to remember that, because my inner critic would love to just jump in and tell me something other, you know, that I'm supposed to be amazing all the time. So, Chris Peterson, Marty Seligman, Aristotle, even Socrates and Plato are part of this respective lineage. And it's a continuum. And there's many more, but we don't have enough time to hit all of them. But what I want to do is share some more benefits. Before I do that, I ask you to pretend like you're in Berkeley. Picture Berkeley, it's 1978. Just go into Berkeley. So there's these wonderful smells of eucalyptus trees that are just in the air thick. Feels good. There's also some smells of cannabis, because it is 1978 and it's Berkeley. But there's no cannabis for those of us, there were about 120 of us, that we had just, we're finishing up a 7-day retreat called The Science of Happiness. It was based on a book by Ken Kies called Handbook to Higher Consciousness. And over those 7 days, we experienced a lot of deep introspection, ahas, the insights and things like that, because we were using lots of different methods and processes. And in looking back, I would consider most of those being positive psychology applications that we can pass on to our clients and definitely use for ourselves. And we're going to be going over some of those in just a moment. But I wanted to share something because I want to encourage each of you to perhaps view this. Because what we did was we were asked to walk in mindful silence down. The retreat center was close to the Greek Theater, if you know Berkeley. And so we walked in mindful silence, not knowing where we were going, but just following where we were being led. And eventually we entered a private theater on Euclid. And it was dark, and we found our seats, and it was just us. And all of a sudden the movie started, and it said Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. And it's the life of St. Francis of Assisi, and the director was Zeffirelli. This is Romeo and Juliet. And this was like the last part of our retreat. And this movie really changed people. And when you think about St. Francis, because I think it's very important for all of us who study positive psychology to read biographies and autobiographies of people who really made a difference in the world. You know, Mother Teresa, for instance. I mean, I love reading Truman, you know, biographies of Truman. It's hysterical in some places, but it's so humbling in others. And just to get those biographies. But St. Francis, when you look at his life, he was a true change agent, positive change agent. He modeled the importance of building a strong foundation, one stone at a time. And so that's how we create our coaching businesses. That's how we create thriving coaching businesses, one client at a time.
Mm.
And
that's really nice to be reminded of.
Yeah, that it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen all at once. We just do it one client at a time,
mm-hmm.
and we support each other, you know, in doing that. And we help our clients live their dreams. You know, we coach them on how to do that and how to, you know, live meaningful lives. And out of that, there's kindness and gratitude and compassion. Compassion just emulates, exudes. But again, it's one day at a time. So that afternoon on Euclid, watching Brother, Son, Sister, Moon was a tipping point for many people. A lot of them were in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s. I was in my early 20s. But I watched as tears flowed because many people really got, through St. Francis' life, that they too, back to that choice word again, they too can choose to live a life, a full life of contribution, or as Aristotle coined, the good life. So I consider this a positive psychology movie, and I look for positive psychology movies. I don't go to violent movies. I don't go to horror movies. I don't go to movies that, when I leave, I feel worse than when I went in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be fed and nourished, and it's real important for me, you know, to be very strident in those areas. So, Berkeley, Science of Happiness Workshop, 1978. I want to encourage all of you on the call to consider, you know, when was your Berkeley? When was your positive psychology? When did that start coming up? Because all of us, when we're coaches, we have to have that mindset that Carol Dweck talks about. And if you don't know Carol Dweck's work, you could start with her book, just specifically called Mindset. It's The New Psychology of Success. It's the subtitle. And it's one of the books that is our Bible at the Mindfulness Coaching School because it talks about growth mindset and fixed mindset. And growth mindset is, well, let's talk about fixed mindset for just a minute. Put your arms around yourself really tight, just really like you're in a straitjacket and get your teeth really clenched and close your eyes and that's what a fixed mindset is like because we have a certain expectation on how things are supposed to be. And if they don't go that way, then we get really upset. And we can't really shift into the next step. It's hard to move forward. And as coaches, we know what it's like when our clients are in a fixed mindset. You know, they may call us with their tail between their legs because sometimes, you know, it takes people a long time to call a coach and ask for help. But they may call us and be you know, like, I'm ready. I'm done. I have bottomed out on this. I need to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hire you, and they work with you, and by about the fourth or fifth session, even though they've been excelling, something starts happening, and they start getting kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And Prochaska, who is a psychologist in his own right, talks about the stages of change. And if you don't know his work, I encourage you all to find his book. It's called Changing for Good. And he talks about the importance of...
Would you repeat the author's name?
Sure, Prochaska.
Okay.
P-R-O-C-H-A-S-K-A.
Thank you.
Prochaska. And he encourages people to really prepare themselves before they move forward. And sometimes the way we prepare is we have to deal with our inner critic. Positive psychology comes in a way that can kind of embrace, you know, get friendly with the inner critic. It's not like, you know, to slice them off at the knees or something, but it's to kind of think of, okay, so, I get that you think you're going to die on this airplane because of the lightning strike, but in actuality, everything's fine, and you didn't even know it. And so you're going to get off the plane, and it's going to be fine. So that's one way to think about it. But the inner critic could say, oh, my God, you know, this is it. Last breath. You might start screaming or something. So the inner critic somehow was hired. I always think of it that the inner critic was somehow hired by us long way back, and they had a specific job description. And then that job description was filled. I mean, it was not filled, but it was completed. The task was completed, and now they're kind of hanging around not knowing what to do. And so, you know, they're kind of, they're there for our best good, our best interest, but it's not working very well.
Yeah.
So to try and transform them into working with us and being allies is something that I've learned through positive psychology in many, many ways. Because, you know, when we think in positive ways, that positive thinking can lead to action, and not just a little action, but positive thinking can give us leverage, and sometimes massive action, which is really needed to keep us motivated. So that client who, you know, it's the fifth time with us and they seem stuck, maybe it's time to find out what was it really that got them to call us in the beginning. Let's revisit that again, and let's remember where you want to be. And then you start talking about them being creative, resourceful, and whole. And you start helping them create more productivity in their lives just by thinking of themselves a little bit differently. So people who have these positive psychology mindsets, and this isn't something that we're born with. We have to work with it. You know, I was doing some things last night, and I read my tarot at night and in the morning, and I pulled three cards, and it was the fourth one. It was the fourth one that I pulled at the very end that got my attention, and that was more of the quote challenging card. And I thought, isn't this interesting? It's like I've got three really powerful cards right here, and I'm delving in to this one. And I think that that's again that's the default. Like, what's this about? You know, so to challenge and to look at where we're thinking, where our thoughts go. In Qigong, we talk a lot about, you know, where the mind goes, the qi goes. Where the mind goes, life energy goes. Our thoughts go, things like that. And so I think to be able to be on top of those thoughts are very important. There was a study done in the 30s and 40s, actually. And it's called the Nun Study, N-U-N. And this is a pretty well-known study, so for those of you who know about it, you know, please forgive me. But I share this a lot, and it never bores me because it's just fascinating. And this is about how positive psychology also creates, you know, longevity, improved health. So what happened was that there were autobiographies that were written during the 30s and 40s of nuns who were seeking entry into the convent. And this is like a perfect scientific study because these were nuns that came in and they lived there until they were in their 80s. And they were typically coming in the average age was 22. So this was a long-term study. So researchers were able to code what their autobiographies were saying in terms of negative, positive, and neutral words. And I don't want to get too scientific here, but bottom line was they pretty much circled the positive emotion words, the sentences, and any kind of variety of positive emotional expressions. And it was very simple. It was very simple. In fact, let me just read this to you if I can find it. Here it is. Yeah, here it is. So this was their directions. So if you were one of the nuns at 22 going into the convent, you would have been given a little piece of paper that said this, and then another piece of paper to write on. So write a short sketch of your life. This account should not contain more than 200 to 300 words and should be written on a single sheet of paper. Include place of birth, parentage, interesting and edifying events of childhood, schools attended, influences that led to the convent, religious life, and outstanding events. That was it. And in 200 to 300 words. Now, the nuns who expressed more positive emotions lived, on an average, a decade longer than their less cheerful comrades or peers. That's significant because not only did they live, it wasn't like they were hanging on, you know, with their nails, with their fingernails. They were living a quality life. And by the age of 80, 60% of the least happy nuns, just based on this autobiography, had died. 60% had died. Now, this is kind of interesting because it's consistently in favor of the more positive nuns. So look at your life and look around you at people who are getting older and who perhaps have died. You know, not from a judgmental standpoint, but from kind of an investigative reporter bearing witness kind of look. And just consider, you know, do you see a direct relationship between being positive and longevity? Now, the other thing that's also studied in this piece, which Matt pulled out a lot, is about Alzheimer's. Researchers considered that the effect that these positive approaches had towards life were, or they compared them to the devastating effects of dementia or Alzheimer's. Or not and or, but yeah, both. And so many of these nuns have actually donated or plan to donate their brains to research. Now, this is pretty fascinating because why not live the good life? I mean, if you really have choices, why not go for the good life and see where you can go? Plus, you get the longevity, you have a good time, you laugh, greater productivity, greater creativity. There's lots of benefits in creating that muscle of positive psychology.
So let me ask you, and I don't want to derail you if you were going someplace else, but would you mind, since I think the majority of the people on the call are coaches, what would be a way to not include positive psychology? What's a way of coaching that you would avoid? Or that would...
Well, to be really blunt,
yeah.
I would avoid that kind of a question with a client. I would jump over the obstacle and ask something, you know, like, you know, how... Because what you're... I would ask more about... I would jump over... How do I want to say this? It's like not putting yourself into a session where you're prolonged, where it's, I can't, my words are not coming out all of a sudden. It's like I'm cross-roaded.
Well, I think, let me guess, can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Maybe it's more not dwelling on the negative, maybe that's the positive psychology, and not dwelling on the negative or the struggle.
Right.
Or
so
why isn't it working, but more the what will work.
It's the focus. It's
right.
Making it very simple and focusing in on what works, what doesn't work.
Okay.
And there are 5 strengths that we have, you know, determined works. And those 5 strengths are curiosity, and this is in actually order, curiosity, capacity to love and be loved, gratitude, zest, hope, and optimism. So if I had a client who was having a difficult time, and I wouldn't go into, unless it was really up to them, I wouldn't go into, like, well, how has this happened in the past, and, you know, da-da-da-da. Instead, I would say, well, let's get curious about this. Let's get curious, because initially you had said da-da-da-da, and now this is happening. And so without judgment, truly without judgment, let's just be curious and notice how this happened, and then that happened, and this happened. And how can we, and I'll use your, you know, your, how can we derail you and put you on the path where you want to go? So that would be kind of like a positive psychology question, curiosity. And then, you know, the capacity to love and be loved is right in there. It's like the more support we have, the more people in our lives that, it doesn't mean about quantity as much as the quality, the meaningful relationships we have in our lives, give us the confidence to move forward. And it gives our clients the confidence to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude is one that's very, very important. And gratitude is hooked into meaning. There's a man named Brother David Seindl Ross, who I consider the father of gratitude. And he's his whole aspect around gratitude is when he goes into a new situation or even an old situation, it could be one of his beloveds that he's with or somebody who's a stranger who he hasn't met yet. And he'll look at them in the eyes and he'll just think quietly to them, surprise me. Surprise me. And when he does that, and this is a positive psychology application, surprise me. It's because when you do that, wherever you all are, just kind of look around your environment and just ask your environment to say, surprise me. Would you surprise me? How can you surprise me right now? And then notice what you see. Notice what arises. Notice what emerges.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes the headspace. And that gets back to the growth mindset, you know, where we were in a straitjacket a moment ago and tight and ooh. And now if we open up and go, surprise me, and we get curious and we remember the love that we have for people in our lives, and we start increasing our hope just by maybe holding a baby in our arms or the miracle of birth. You know, I just recently put my ear up to my goddaughter's belly, and it was like, oh, God. And I just felt that hope surge through, that optimism.
Mm-hmm.
So these kinds of things put us into a growth mindset. And when we can have our practice be choosing a growth mindset, it's sort of like a tsunami effect into our clients' lives. Because we're role modeling for them. We're helping them get into a growth mindset. So a growth mindset would be one where we do a meta view. And sometimes, you know, depending on what coaching school you've gone to, you go up in an elevator and look down, or you go up in an helicopter and look down, or you go up to Sangre de Cristo's and look down. But you get that bird's eye view, and you get that spacious view that we call in Buddhism. And then you look down, and it's like the more spacious you become, the more possibilities there are.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Definitely does.
Yeah. So the signature strengths are, again, at authentichappiness.org, and then it'll buzz you over to University of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are those the strengths you just mentioned, curiosity?
Those are the top, yeah, those are the top,
top five.
Five. Yeah,
okay.
They're called values and action signature strengths.
Okay.
Just looking at the time. The Marty also has an acronym. He calls it PERMA. And it stands for, it's in his book Flourish, and it stands for positive emotion. It's the P for positive emotion, E for engagement, P for positive relationships, M for meaning, and A for accomplishment or achievement. And I'm just going to mention it here because when we choose to have positive emotions, and if we're not sure how to do that because we're really in something that's triggering us, or our clients are, if we can just slow down and be mindful, then and down-regulate, basically, using our breath, the positive emotions can start arising when we invite them in by asking ourselves, how can I be peaceful in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the three things I'm grateful for today? What could give me pleasure to do tonight after this is done? How can I be inspiring to the people that are with me right now, even though I'm not feeling that way? So, you know, you choose to change your mindset. You go into that growth mindset. And then that's choosing the positive emotion. But then it's also engaging. It's getting into that flow aspect of being in an emotion of peace, of gratitude, of pleasure. You know, letting that flow through us. And, gosh, who knows what can happen then. But we definitely experience well-being.
So that's part of the choice, by taking action.
Taking action, the engaged aspect. And then the P is choosing to be with people who are meaningful and positive in your life. You know, choosing people who like being here on the planet. And sometimes we can have those people in our lives, but we're not interacting with them as much as we would like. And so then it's up to us, it's up to our clients, for us to encourage our clients to make some choices and maybe adopt a goddaughter. You know, I've adopted four goddaughters, and two of them are pregnant. I mean, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun, and it gives me a lot of meaning in my life. Or volunteering for something, or doing something that serves a higher purpose than just living your life. So that's the meaning that goes into the meaning piece. And then the accomplishment is accomplishment and achievement, actually. There's two action nouns that kind of go together. And it helps us be avid lifetime learners. Because what the Nunn study and many other studies have shown us is that the more we learn about something, the more curiosity arises. And we strive to keep learning something. And it keeps us excited.
Mm-hmm.
And we start flourishing. So some of that could be training for an athletic event. And when my dad was never, he was a golfer and he walked a lot. He walked 5 miles a day. But he was never an athlete. And his friends would always say, come on, Mac, let's go play tennis. And Dad's like, no, I'm going to go for a walk. And when he hit 80, he and I were in a 5 mile, or a 5K, it was a 5K. It was a walk-run thing. And he won first place in his division. And there were only two people in his division because he was 80. But, you know, it didn't matter. He was just so proud of that, and he was so excited, and it was an achievement,
mm-hmm.
and it was an accomplishment. And
so it doesn't have to be an achievement in the eyes of the world. It's more about you personally accomplishing something important to you. Yeah, that's
exactly.
An interesting.
Exactly. And he did that. Every day, you know, for the next 9 years until he died. And it was just, you know, it was such a pleasure to be around him because he was just, and he was just being. So, you know, play with those actions, you know, creating positive emotion, being engaged with it, creating positive relationships, creating meaning and accomplishment and achievement.
It really is such a great fit with coaching. I mean, everything you're saying about positive psychology and
that
really just clicks beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And I wanted to open it up for questions. Is this a good time for you?
Sure.
In terms of
sure.
what you wanted to say. Okay. Mm-hmm. If anyone has a question, could you just hit *6 to unmute yourself and just say your name?
This is Dean Curtis.
Hi, Dean.
Hi. Would it be possible to give us that list of the five strengths that you spoke of? I missed the last two.
Of course. Of course. Curiosity. Zest. Actually, you know what? I think it's better. Let me put them in order. So it's curiosity, capacity to love and be loved. And these are considered the top five. So curiosity, capacity to love and be loved, gratitude, zest, and hope and optimism.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
There's the CTI book you were quoting from earlier with using the words creative, resourceful, and whole. One of the things they talk about is basically being willing to be with emotions and not skip over them. And I'm curious if you could tell us a little bit about honoring that and pointing the clients to a more positive outlook and take on things.
Well, first of all, emotions aren't positive or negative. They just are.
Okay.
Yeah, they just come forward. And I actually failed my MCC oral exam the first time. I don't tell a lot of people this, but I did.
You just told 18 people.
Right, I just told a lot of people. But I failed it because I had the illusion that MCC coaching was like ACC or PCC coaching, and that it was very formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
And MCC coaching is really, bottom line is, what they wanted me to do, although I don't think they would say this right now, but or they would say it then, but they wanted me to get the client to a point where they would be tearful, if not crying, because that showed depth. And they wanted the MCC people to go deep. And so it's not, when I was talking about obstacles, I'm not talking about emotions. I'm talking about perhaps words like, I can't do this because I'm too old.
That's external obstacles.
Yeah, external obstacles. And, so that's really an important, I'm really glad you brought that forward, because I don't want anybody to think that emotions are a bad thing or a good thing. They just are. But what we know is that when people are creating more meaning in their lives, they're going to have more, they just view life differently.
Mm-hmm.
View life differently. When I was in Berkeley, another thing that I did was I worked with some people that were drug addicts and they were in recovery. And we were in a gym, and I would have everybody for about 3 minutes. I tried it for 5 minutes, and it got very dark. But for 3 minutes, we would just walk, saying yeah or say no, 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 no. So with every footstep, it was a no, like a mantra.
Mm.
And sometimes we have days like that,
right?
No, no, no. And then I had them to stop where they were, notice what they were feeling, and then start up again, and with each step say yes, 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 and then notice what happened. And it was really fascinating. And oftentimes that's what I'll give a client who's telling themselves that they can't do that, that they're not good enough, you know, that no one, that their parents never showed them how to do it, so they can't do it, or whatever, you know, limiting belief they might be coming up with. So I always just ask them to write down the limiting beliefs, and then we'll figure out an antidote for them. So, for instance, I did a, how am I doing on time?
Great. I'll maybe a couple more minutes, and then after that I'll open it up and ask people if they could chime in and just share something they've learned that will might change how they approach coaching.
Sure.
So, yeah, take about 2 more minutes.
Yep. I'm going to go fast. So,
Buckled in, yes.
Buckle in, gang. So I did a research study a year and a half ago. I took it to Edinburgh and presented it. And it's, I call it the Three Treasures Practice and Study. And it's bottom lining, what it is loving kindness meditation through the positive psychology lens. And I created four different statements to say. And this is based on the traditional loving kindness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's also based on where I found a lot of people were challenged, in their lives. And so we can kind of look at what our clients' major gremlin or inner critic statements are, and we can use them as antidotes. So these are four statements that I used. And it was for people who, it was over 200 people were in the study, and it was for people who had been experiencing grief and loss for over a year. And it could be through somebody dying, or it could be because something wonderful happened in their life. They got a promotion, but they left fabulous colleagues. So even though they're excited, but they're still missing their colleagues from their other jobs. So these are the four statements. May I now be filled with loving kindness. May I now be safe and protected. May I now be resilient in mind and body. May I now live with ease and joy. Let me repeat that. May I now be filled with loving kindness. May I now be safe and protected. May I now be resilient in mind and body. May I now live with ease and joy. And what we found out was that even though they were experiencing grief and loss, they were starting to prioritize in the positivity realm, and they started cultivating a more spacious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really an important piece because these are transformative antidotes to suffering. And bottom line is when our clients come to us, they really want to alleviate some aspect of suffering in their lives.
Right.
And so how can we help them do that? I want to leave you all with this meditation. I call it my airport meditation because I travel so much. And it's very simple, very simple. But it gets you into a space where it's neither this nor that, not good or bad, not right or wrong. And you breathe in just, so breathe in the word just. You say that word to yourself, just, as you breathe in. And then you exhale this. So you breathe in just, and you exhale this. And you just sit and you do that. And I'd like to invite you to close your eyes when you do it, and just see what arises. Notice what arises. And this is part of, again, making an environment where positive psychology can flourish in your life.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of just accepting what is in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's one that I could probably even remember, what with the two words and all. I don't need to write it on my hand or put it on my phone.
Right.
So thank you so much. I would ask anyone who cares to share, we've got about 5 minutes, if anyone would like to *6 themselves to unmute and let us know one thing that you are taking from today's presentation that might shift how you coach or think.
Hello, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hi, it's Kimberly Johnson.
Hi, Kimberly.
Hey, I am so loving that knowing now that curiosity is a top strength. And I've always highly valued curiosity, but it's really fun and special to hear that that's actually one of the top strengths.
Yeah, and it isn't just one of the top strengths, but it is the top strength. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Love
right.
it.
Right. And when you think of Waldorf schooling, it's all about curiosity. I think that's why the Waldorf kids love learning so much. They're avid lifelong learners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Thanks so much.
Sure. Kimberly, thank you. I'm glad you're on the call. Have fun over there on the West Coast.
Yeah, I'm headed back soon this weekend. I've been here for 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good. Does anybody else have any other comments or questions?
Yeah, this is Beth in Bloomfield. All of this is interesting and obviously applicable, and this is kind of a funny, just little thing, but I just really appreciated that you started with the lineage all the way back with Aristotle, because sometimes it's hard to, you know, get people to take this kind of stuff seriously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Right.
Oh, all that happy stuff.
I know.
But to sort of give it an intellectual lineage, I think is wonderful.
Thank you
for that. I certainly hadn't thought of it.
It takes it out of the New Age,
Uh-huh.
Crystal-y times, yeah.
Yeah, because for me, positive psychology is really more about meaning.
Yeah.
How do we create meaning in our life?
Yeah.
Because when I think of happy, it's like, oh, are you happy? Well, you know, sort of. I mean, I don't know what that means anymore. You know, I remember I was supposed to be happy when I was a little girl. Are you happy? You're such a happy girl. You know? But I don't know if that, you know, if that's so important anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions? And Elizabeth, I know that I'm bowing out now.
Yeah. Does anyone else have one quick thing they want to share? And then I'll.
Yeah, this is
quick
Lorna Kalk.
Oh, what?
This is Lorna Kalk, and I wanted to share my takeaway is the integrity of you as a presenter with the material. It just felt like all of a piece, and it was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh,
God. Oh. And hi, may I ask a question? Hello, this is Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi. I'm curious, towards the end you said something when you taught us just this exercise.
Yes.
You said you bring yourself back to neutrality, and I'm curious if the applying positive psychology, if the end result is getting us into this place of neutrality or zero point. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, in a way that it creates meaning and more spaciousness, yes.
Yes.
But not in a neutrality where you're just kind of,
No. Neutrality where we allow everything, you know.
Exactly.
So it's like, yes. Okay.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly it. And it is, you know, I think it's a gateway. I think positive psychology is a gateway into being able to accept everything that's going on and still engage what's going on and making a difference in you know, helping others and contribution. Yeah.
I mean, from a healthy detachment
exactly.
standpoint. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because when I'm not attached, boy, I can really boogie. You know, I really feel like I can make a difference. And also in my own life, I don't forget about me, which is so easy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
you. Glad
you
brought that up. Anybody? Any other takeaways?
Hi, this is Dean Curtis. I've got a lot of clients here lately that seem like they're paralyzed by fear, and I'm thinking that maybe taking a meta view, taking that higher approach and then looking down, that might be pretty helpful to help them break out of that. Of course, it's fundamentally in the doing that they find out.
But you can help them do that yourself. And use those four statements that I shared earlier from the Three Treasures practice, because that can help people. You know, in the school, the Mindfulness Coaching School, we work a lot with fear, on how to work with our clients with fear, because that's one of the reasons why I put it together. Because I could go on and on. But bottom line is the world is changing so quickly, and we need to learn how to integrate and adapt. And so to be able to be the coaches out there that contribute in helping our clients do that and making a huge difference in the world is so vital, so vital. So I'm glad you brought that up, the fear piece, because it is scary. It's scowy. Scowy, scowy, scowy.
Right.
And then it's not. You know, lightning strikes the plane and I'm still alive. And now I get to, you know, I get to put it into my talks. Thank you.
Oh, gosh. I think we need to cut it off time-wise. Anne-Marie, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Really grateful for all of us to get to hear you and I'll sneak this in. I love connecting this more Buddhist approach about being present in the moment and justice with the other part of coaching, which is always about moving forward.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think it's a, sometimes that's for me a tricky line to balance, and I love the way you put it all. It really kind of connects it for me, so thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Thank you.
And I just want to tell everybody that for more information on Anne-Marie and her programs, you can go to her website is www.annemariemckelvey.com, and her email is skycollage@gmail.com. And also, she, this upcoming Monday is her next mindfulness coaching call. You can email her and she'll get you on the call. It's free and it's her gift to the world. I've participated in a couple of them and always take away something and new thoughts. And you can go to her website and there's an icon in the upper corner that says mindfulness call and you can log in there. And thank you again, Anne-Marie, and all the participants in the call. And I'm going to now stop the recording and give you the next code word so you can get your CCUs. So, Anne-Marie, if you need to leave, you're sprung, or you can hang out for
and
say goodbye.
Oh, I'm going to hang out. This is
okay.
A good group. Thank
great.
You.
Okay, hold on just one
yet.
Second. Let me just stop the recording. Hold on one moment.
Okay.